Chapter 30. Bunny knocked on the door of the shed. He'd had to walk around to the bridge and then down across the wasteland, there being no way over the canal directly from Ossory Road. Silence.
Mary, I know you're in there.
Go away, came that familiar voice with its haughty tone. A lady does not like to be disturbed.
I am sorry, Mary, but it's important. It's Bunny McGarry.
A sound of movement inside was followed by the door creaking open a couple of inches, Mary's eye peering out through the gap. Once ID had been achieved, she opened the door fully, running her hands over herself, checking she was still all there and that her tiara was in place.
Oh, Bunny, I do apologize. I did not realize that it was you. I'm not normally at home to a gentleman caller after dark. Would you mind terribly if I do not invite you in?
Bunny glanced behind her. The shed was rammed with a cornucopia of shiny tat. A child's mobile dangled from the ceiling, and string held all manner of luminous detritus to the walls, the culmination of Magpie Mary's ceaseless years perusing the dumpsters of Dublin. The floor held a thin mattress, the only furnishing in the entire structure.
Of course not, said Bunny. It wouldn't be proper. Perhaps we could have a chat out here.
Mary smiled nervously and nodded.
Indeed. One moment.
She produced two deck chairs that had seen better days from the side of the shed, unfolded them and set them out. Bunny carefully lowered himself into the one indicated, painfully aware that his bulk could be the straw that broke the camel's back. Mary sat down opposite him. He noticed that since he and Gringo had met her a couple of months ago on Mercer Street, she had added a glow-stick necklace to her outfit.
I'm sorry, Mary. I've not seen you since you had to go to the hospital. I've been meaning to drop in to check on you.
Mary waved his concerns away.
That's quite all right, Bunny. It was very good of you and your associate to show such concern.
Not at all, Mary,
he said, producing his card from his pocket.
In fact, if you ever get any trouble like that from any gorillas, you give me a call. 'Tis a shocking state of affairs.
Well, yes, although I must say the health service took excellent care of me. It's such a wonder. Whether it be you or I, or the least fortunate amongst us, they give the same excellent care to all. Fantastic!
Absolutely, said Bunny,
noting that Mary considered herself to be amongst the most fortunate.
Speaking of which,
said Mary, looking around herself in alarm,
where are my manners? Will you have a cup of tea?
Bunny held his hands up.
Oh, no, honestly, Mary, it's very late. No caffeine or I'll be up all night.
If you're sure.
I am, said Bunny.
He nodded to the flurry of activity still happening on Ossory Road, the patrol car lights still needlessly strobing into the night.
I'm sorry that your night's sleep will have been disturbed by all this.
Well, yes,
said Mary.
There has been quite the commotion.
Bunny nodded.
I was just wondering if perhaps you might have seen any of what went on earlier.
Mary shifted nervously, causing her deck chair to squeak her discomfort.
I don't want to get involved in anything. While I have nothing but respect for you, my experiences of law enforcement in general have not been positive.
Bunny nodded his understanding. He and Gringo had had to step in a couple of years ago to stop two uniforms from evicting her from the shed, when an overly keen new manager down at Connolly Station had decided it was a misuse of Earnrod Aaron's land.
I'm not here as a guard, Mary. I'm here as a friend.
He held up his empty hands.
I'm not taking notes. This is just a chat.
Well,
she said, as if weighing things up before they tipped in his favor. She leaned in closer, a gossip with a story to tell.
I did see rather a lot of it.
Is that so?
She nodded.
I was sitting here, as it happens, enjoying a nightcap.
She looked suddenly nervous, her face clouded by the inveterate drinker's fear.
As you would, said Bunny. Something to fend off the cold winter's chill.
She nodded her agreement, a smile of relief crossing her lips.
Indeed. Well, I noticed this van pulling into the industrial estate, and that struck me as unusual, late as it was. Then a minute later, all the banging noises started. I didn't know what it was at first. I thought it might be fireworks. Honestly, the children around here with those blasted fireworks they have at Halloween, you'd be afraid for your life. Demons they are, pure demons. Why, one time, it must have been 3 in the morning.
Bunny reached his hand across and touched her on the arm.
Sorry, Mary, not to... It wasn't fireworks tonight, though, was it?
She nodded her head and then shook it.
No, it was gunfire. There was quite a bit of it, and some shouting. Some of the language was very uncouth. Then a car, a blue car, comes hurtling out of there and speeds up the road, driving very recklessly, I must say.
I see, said Bunny. And you're sure you saw nobody go in between when the van went in and the blue car came out?
Oh, no,
said Mary.
Nobody. Not until the lady ran out.
A lady?
Yes, said Mary with a nod. I was surprised when she pulled the balaclava off.
What?
Mary pulled a face at Bunny's shocked tone.
Sorry, Mary, you were saying?
Well, yes, the lady. She had something in her hands. She ran down the road to a car there and then ran back up.
Bunny nodded. Jessica Cunningham. Why would she run back to her car while her partner lay bleeding out on the ground? First aid kit? Perhaps. Surely they'd have had their mobiles with them to ring for an ambulance.
She came back,
continued Mary.
And there were a few more bangs, and then, a couple of minutes later, all the police and ambulances showed up. My lord, the racket!
Bunny, lost in thought, registered what she'd said a few seconds after she said it.
Wait, hang on. She came back in, and then there were more bangs. You're sure?
Bunny must have let his tension show, as Mary shifted nervously.
Yes, that's right. I don't want any trouble now. I may have misremembered it. I hope I can trust your discretion in this matter.
As Bunny spoke, he stared once more over the canal, the silent train tracks and the grey stone wall, to the industrial estate beyond. Trying to tie the facts together in any other way than the direction they were pointing.
Yes, Mary, don't worry. This is just a chat between us. In fact, if anyone else comes asking, I'd suggest you say you were asleep and didn't see anything.
If you think that is best.
He stood and nodded.
I do. Sorry again for disturbing you.
That's quite all right.
With a nod, he turned and started walking back up the slope towards the tracks. Behind him, he could feel the presence of Ossory Road and its badly kept secrets weighing on his back.